an explanation for love.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us.
Amen. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, God speaks of his love. And in that passage is found the greatest single statement about God in the entire Bible. And that phrase is this: God is love. It's amazing how many questions that statement answers, really, when you think about it. It's an explanation for so many things. I've got about 8 things that I've formulated as statements and explanations, and I want to go over a few of them with you today. The first thing it explains, just that simple statement, God is love, because of his love, it's the explanation of creation. Sometimes we wonder, God, why God created this world to start? Why would God create a world in which people would come, and many of which would be a source of grief, sorrow to the heart of the one who made them? And the answer is that the creation is essential to his very nature. If, and not if really, since God is love, he will not exist in isolation. God would not exist alone in Trinity, in isolation, without something to create and enjoy and love. And someone who will love in return, who will reciprocate the love shown. And isn't it an amazing thing that God made us? That leads me to the second thing. It's the explanation for human freedom. This same creator who made these creatures, unless love is free, it isn't love at all, is it? How can it be love unless there's a freedom to express and return something without coercion? You can't coerce love. You can't demand or force it. I know there's a day in human history, in our history as human beings in America, that we used to have forced weddings, where young women were told you had to marry this man. Well, you could force the wedding, but you can't force that young woman to love that man. And some lived in misery all their life. Unless love is free, free to respond, it is not love. If God had only been law, he could have created a world filled with a whole vast array of robots programmed to respond to any command that he gave. And as a matter of fact, in heaven, there are such creatures. We know there are creatures in heaven now that all 24 hours a day, their only thing to do is to say what? Huh? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Nowhere does it say they love God. That is what they're commanded. That's what they're created to do. Since God made men, he made men like that, let's say. there would have been no possibility for a personal relationship between us and him. Nothing. Love is necessarily has to be free. And that's why God has to allow human beings to say, no, I don't want you. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to be saved. So God has allowed people to be free. He has allowed self-determination. He has allowed himself self-limitation for us to be able to do that. He has limited himself. He doesn't have to do that. At any moment, he could change and wipe us out and take that wonderful privilege away. But God, in wonderful grace, says, I'm willing to do that because I want their freedom to be. You know, don't you think how great it is when you can sit alone and maybe in your chair or get down on your knees? Of course, I can't do that anymore. But I sit in my chair and I can just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I praise your holy name for loving me. How sweet it is, God, to be a servant of yours and to be allowed to know you. Don't you think that's sweet to his ears? I'm not forced to do that. I want to do that. Self-determination. That's the explanation. God is love. Because he loves his creatures, he created them. And he gave them self-determination to be able to say no. Some say no. That's why I explained to that precious Jewish gal. It works on my legs. I said to her, that's the reason for heaven and hell. You make a choice. God doesn't have to send you anywhere. You make the choice. God, I don't want you. What do you want? You want the other side. But God, I want you. I want to be with you forever and all of eternity. And that's what most of us long for. We're like the Apostle John. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. The love of God is the explanation for human determination. It's the explanation for providence. A lot of people misunderstood the Father's definition of it. You just look up a definition for providence. It's God's fatherly care for his people in nature, the whole of everything he created. It's God's care. Had God been simply mind, order, and law, he might have just created the universe, wound it up, set it going, gone back, and left it to ourselves. And there are a few religions that actually believe that. They say that's the reason why we murder, kill, war, and all the rest. Is God just left us to ourselves? And he doesn't have any part of it. He's not around to mess with us. Then God isn't providential. He doesn't care about the thing. There are machines that we now buy, what most of us are familiar with, the machines that we buy, that simply turn them on and just forget about it. They do the work for us. Take a dryer, throw the wet clothes in, set the timer. Hour, it tells you they'll be dry in an hour. Maybe with the big heavy cloths or carpets, it'll be later, so you add another 30 minutes. But anyway, you set the timer. When the time is up, it turns off. But then, if it lays there, it's got a spinning thing so that your clothing doesn't wrinkle it starts spinning every so often. I mean, it's amazing what we can do with the machines nowadays. Their most attractive quality is they run by themselves. And that's what they think about us as human beings. But does the Bible teach that God allows that of us? Ted, would you read Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 11 and 12?
11 and 12, okay. By the land, whether ye go to possess it, is the land of the hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year.
The land that God cares for, his eyes are always on it. That's providence. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. That's providence. And I was reading some writer, I forget what it was, and he, because they used the word providence, he thought they weren't Orthodox. Any of the founders. What greater word could they use? They see God as Father, attending to his whole universe, his whole nature and people. God is love is the explanation for that. Not only that, but God is love is the explanation for redemption. Think of it. If God had only been law and justice, he would have left men to the consequences of their sin. But the moral law would have operated. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, the Bible says. That would have been the end of it. The eternal justice of God would hand out whatever penalty would be applied to that sin. But the very fact that God is love meant that he would seek and save that which was lost. And we remember Jesus said, I have come into the world for that very purpose, to seek and save that which is lost. Law doesn't demand salvation, does it? It demands death. The wages of sin is
death.
But love doesn't demand death. Love demands salvation. And I love that. Love found a way. It found a remedy for sin. Love found a way to redeem us, to ransom us from all that condemned us, all that just put us into the very judgment of God, lifted us, saved us, cleansed us, washed us, all by his wonderful grace in redemption. And then think of it, it's his love is the explanation for life hereafter. If God were simply a creator, man could live his brief life, live it out, whatever it is, 70 years and more, and then just die. If all there was to this life, why then God could just make others, when they die, he could just create others to follow up on them and follow up on their work and responsibilities until they die and just have an assembly line of created followers and workers. But that isn't life that Jesus is talking about. The life which ended early would only be a flower that died and fell off. But the fact that God loves and is certain that the changes of this life do not have the last word, that love will readjust the balance of this life. It's going to provide for an equitable tomorrow. There is a life, every one of us in our breath, abreast, almost every race of wherever they are in the world, they all know that this isn't the end. There's something after this life is over. But the love of God goes even further to just the life hereafter. The love of God is the explanation for life eternal, eternal life. We saw that in John, 1 John 4:9, I think it was. Steve, if you'd read that verse 9 again.
Let me get back to that.
He sent his love that we might have life, if I'm not mistaken.
God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
Yeah. There's a vast difference between existence and life. All men have existence, no doubt about that, but all do not have eternal life. The very existence with which men seek pleasures, you know, really shows that something is missing in their life when they seek pleasure. It has to be seeking something to fill up something inside that's empty. Otherwise, you wouldn't need all that. A famous doctor once said this, and I quote, "One would more likely find a cure for cancer than would find a cure for boredom." Isn't it though? Jesus Christ gives a reason for which every man can live. He gives us a reason for living. Like, he gives us a purpose for which to live, the purpose-driven life. He gives us a strength by which to live, his life in us. You read on in this, verses 13 through 16 in 1 John 4. Tells you, abide in him, he in you. His life. He gives us strength by which to live. And he gives us peace in which to live. My peace I give unto you, not as the world. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Living with Christ means more than existence. It means life, and it means life everlasting. And then it's the explanation for his condescension. His condescension. Look at verses 14 and 15. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. Notice, we have to confess, and we got to agree with God that Jesus is the Son of God. Whatever that means, it certainly tells us that Jesus has a special relationship to the Father that no other human being has ever had. Think of it. God bids you through Christ to come and have fellowship with him. And he said it's only through Christ that you can have that fellowship and that oneness. He said you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. He said, and I'll give you rest. Before that precious blood was shed on Calvary's cross, the door was closed. But he said, by me, any man can come the door through the door. I'll open the door. If any man, what? Knock. I'll open the door. The door is open. He opens it. And there is the Father just waiting to embrace anyone who comes to God by him. Isaiah recorded in his book, 59th chapter, 2nd verse, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sin has hid his face from you." It's your sins that have separated you from your God, and he will not hear your prayers. But, Christ bore our sins and our iniquities on that tree. And through him, all our sins are washed away. And that love of God that we talk about, God is love. Three simple words. But like I said, it's the explanation for everything follows from those three words. And there's a songwriter that we couldn't find the song, could we, George? The exact song, at least, that I wanted. "Love found a way to save my soul. Love found a way to make me whole." Catherine, you knew that song, didn't you? It was in the back of your mind. God is love.
Of years ago, reading in Lewis, he said, you know, God doesn't love you because you're lovable.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you because he's loving.
Yeah, amen. Isn't that true? Yeah. What one of us really is at all times, how could any of us ever be lovable?
Right.
Well, let's bow in prayer.